Okay, kiddos, join me up here. Oh man, I got something you're gonna like today in the bag today. All right, we got a jar. Y'all all get where you can see this on the corner here, okay? All right.
I think it's full of water.
I've got some, I got little pieces of wood here. And that's everything in my bag. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna show a lesson with the wood. Now, let's just pretend that this is our life. This jar is our life. And we're gonna fill our lives with stuff that we do and that's important to us. What things do you put in your life? Things that are important to you. Okay, praise. All right, let's put a few things in there. Worship. All right. Praying to God. How about reading the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, that. Okay.
Believing in Jesus.
Believing in Jesus. Okay. All right, not stealing Jesus' stuff. Okay. All right, let's do it. All right. All right. Now, all those are good things about Jesus and all that, but you know what we got to do before we put any of those things in this jar? Let's get them all out. See if Brother Dusty can get them out of there now. All right, there we go. We need to have Jesus in our life first, right?
That pretty much takes up the whole jar.
Hey, Jackson, you're on top of it. So, we put Jesus in there. He's in our lives, and then you can put everything else. You can put everything else then. But you know what? Remember, Jesus didn't fit in there if you had all that other stuff in your life first. You have to have Jesus in your life. Let's do it again. And this time, think of all the things that we're not supposed to put in our lives.
Satan.
Satan? Okay, let's... What else, Jimmy? Just name something, not supposed to. What, Tim?
Taking
stuff from people? What else? Lying? Stealing?
And disobeying?
All right. All right, yep, put that in there. What else? Oh, man. Oh, I dropped one of our sins there. Okay. And what happened?
Jesus
can't fit in.
All right. So first and foremost, before everything else, Jesus has got to be the priority of our life. Then when things come into our lives, you know, they're under His control. Everything. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for the children today, big and little. Ask you, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts today. Let us remember and let this message ring true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. Amen. Okay, y'all go to Kids Zone and behave yourself today. And remember, we'll be praying for your prayer request in the morning. As I remind y'all often, the prayer request that you put on your card, your yellow card, we pray over those every Monday morning. But then we have a blue sheet, a sticky sheet. It's like a giant sticky note. One of the areas that the children go through back there is they study the Word, they do a time of memory, they have prayer time. And they write their request down so we get them on Sunday morning. And let me remind you again that maybe you didn't tell the truth about what was going on in your family. But in children, there is no guile. And so they speak the truth. And somewhere between what we get on the yellow cards and what we see on the blue sheet, we know how to pray and pray for you. God bless you. It's good to see you today. We begin a new series today. And before I introduce that, look in your mailbox this week, your email box. I've got a letter I'm going to send to you about the things that the Lord showed me during my 40 days. You know, thank God and Greyhound, I got that stuff off of my face at midnight before Resurrection Sunday, and I felt like a brand new man. We begin a new series today entitled Resetting Your Life. And again, we're going to tag team it with at 9:30 and at 11, coming at this at different angles. When you think of words that for reset, they're the old words, the old religious words that we use, like revive, renew, and then some other more modern words like restart, or maybe go back to a biblical term, repent. All poured into the meaning of that word reset. What do you do when your modem at home goes out and suddenly everything in your house that's driven by the internet is dead? What do? That obscure place that you have placed that wireless router, somebody has to climb up there or go there and mash this little reset button. And then it puts everything in order. Now, you used to tease me about my about computers, because I was the reformat king. I would reformat hard drives in a New York minute. Get it back to its original state. Now, today I'm not going to drag out more snakes than I can kill. Hopefully. But I want to begin a conversation with you. Some weeks it'll be me up here. Some weeks it'll be Rick, Dane. We're going to swap this around at 9:30 and 11. And I hope you'll be tuned in. When it comes to your life, do you ever feel like you just need to mash the reset button? Do I get a do-over? Can I just start fresh this week? You know, the Bible says joy comes in the morning. You know, you might be in the nighttime of an experience right now in your life, a dark time. But I want to assure you today, morning's coming, if you'll let it. Now, to begin this message series at 11, we're going to talk about priorities. Oh boy, there's a word. Now, I want to admit something to you. I have looked for 2 weeks for a film clip I could use right now. All the ones that really get my attention are not appropriate to use right here. So why don't we just imagine one about priorities right now, and now you got it. What are the priorities of your life? Can you list them? What are the things that matter most to you? Secondly, what is a priority? If you had to define it, how would you define it? Well, here's a definition for you. A thing that is regarded as more important than other things. How many parents have we got here? Raise your hand. That's most of us. How many are a product of parents that are here? Trick question. Y'all ahead of me there. It's a bright crowd today. Has this word ever been used with you? Either you speaking it or someone speaking it to you. Every coach you've ever had? You know, I had a basketball coach one time that he believed that when that orange ball rose above the horizon, it was not the sun, it was a basketball. And that was what life was all about. You ever had a coach like that? You ever had a teacher like that? You go into their class, and it's like they think that the world revolves around them. Ever had a boss like that? Uh-huh. Thank you, Daniel. I know a few of your bosses. A thing that is regarded as more important than other things, a priority. Now, I've got a situation for you. A little test here. You're 10 miles offshore fishing. That's already put some of you in a panic. And you're fishing for sharks. You got three friends with you in your boat. And here's the situation. You got yourself there? The engine, of course, there's a primary mistake right there. You never go offshore with just one engine, but we did. Well. The engine has quit. There are no other boats nearby back to the setup 10 miles, okay? You've forgotten your sunscreen. And let me tell you, there's no Bimini top on this boat either. Your friend, one of your friends, is seasick. Being translated, well, I'm not going to translate it. It's raining. You have enough food. I think I cut off snack there. For a good snack. You have a hole in the hull of your boat and it is leaking profusely. The fish, the jaws type, remember back to our setup fishing for sharks, you've chummed them up now so you can catch them. You know what chum is? You know, the bloody... Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. That's what you're here for. Mr. Coast Guard. By the way, while we're already distracted, Tommy Boy has been accepted in the Coast Guard Academy. Yes, sir. And we are proud of you, Tommy Boy. All right. So these fish, with that dorsal fin, they're circling your boat. They aren't biting your line that you've put in to catch them with, but you're thinking they might have other ideas about the food that is in the boat. Can I get a witness on that? So, here's a question. Based on all of that, what's your priority? Let me ask you, do you have a list of priorities? Or is there one priority that's more important than all the rest in that list that I gave you? Huh? There's one? Which one are you going to address first? Yes, sir, Bubba, you better plug that hole. Now, I went fishing with Uncle Roy one time in his boat.
You
And it was leaking bad. And I came home, I had a snake in my shoe. Now, how'd you make that decision about the hole in the boat? How'd you come to that decision? Pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, you can be a moron and make that decision, right? You know, you can get out there and rearrange the deck furniture on your own personal Titanic, but it's going down. And there are other living creatures waiting for it to go down. Did your belief system help you at all make that decision? Of course it did. You have a belief, a strong belief, that without that boat 10 miles offshore, what's going to happen to you and a bunch of sharks? Well, you can either have a life preserver on and you can be floating bait for them, or you can have the life preserver off and you can be swimming bait for them. Got the picture? All right. A couple of questions about priorities before we move on to a passage of Scripture we're going to look at. John, you can go to the next one. Pete Rose once said, number two ain't nothing. Did you hear him make that quote? Ever heard it? Sir, number two ain't nothing. He said that in an interview one time. They were talking about, he played for the Big Red Machine, and they were contending for a title at the time, and they had come from way far back to be contending, and the news reporter that was interviewing him said, well, you ought to feel pretty good. I mean, y'all are number two right now. You're right up there within striking distance. And he says, number two ain't nothing. I heard him say that. I remember when he made that quote, because what he showed to me was there's a difference in these numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 2 through 5 have something in common. What's that? They're not number one. You see, it's this mutually exclusive thing about priority. So, number two, are we really talking about priorities, plural, or a singular priority? Ooh, hadn't thought of it like that. Here's a story about priority. From Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Stop. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Saul. He's not the Apostle Paul yet. He's Saul. He's Saul, the highly educated, decorated zealot who was out hunting down those who would be against his belief system, i.e. Christians. This man that sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who had an IQ off the charts, who had the whole world at his feet, who was also, by the way, a Roman citizen. Quite a feat for a Jew to be a Roman citizen. But he was. You remember later on in Acts, he'll appeal to Caesar to get an audience there. So this is the Saul we're talking about. He was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters We would call them letters of Mark, addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any of the followers of the way. Who are we talking about? The way? You know, before we were ever called Christians, we were called people of the way. The way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him. And he fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. The voice replied, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." You might call this God's attention-getting mechanism. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. And he remained there blind for 3 days, did not eat or drink. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Do you see this parallelism? Let me just remind you, out, footnote, out to the side. God never does anything in a vacuum. When he's speaking to you, he's also speaking to others. So the Lord does nothing in a vacuum. He's speaking here, and he's speaking over here. And he's about to bring them together. Ananias, yes, Lord. Lord said, "Go to the straight street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus by the name of Saul." Pretty specific instructions, right? "He's praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in, laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. Many are dead because of him. And he is authorized by leading priests to arrest anyone and everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument." Another sermon for another day. Never try to tell God who he can save and who he can't. Never. Because such were some of you. "Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him, did exactly what the Lord told him to do. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road, has sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And instantly, what do you expect to happen? Exactly what God says is going to happen. Something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. Then he got and was baptized. And afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. There is Saul's experience of coming to Jesus. Would you say that he had had a reset in his life? I mean, you talk about doing a 180, he did. But nothing he did. It was the power of God. The Lord came and spoke to him. And the Lord used other people in his life. Now, let's summarize. Saul, before the Damascus Road, he was successful, famous, and a man of means. Secondly, he had focus. He had laser-like focus. One thing controlled his life, right? Third, he had purpose. His purpose. Go get those Christ followers, those Yeshua followers. Arrest them, and if necessary, stand by and hold the coats of those who stone them to death, which he did, by the way. He had a plan. And would you say also that he had passion? He was passionate about it. You see, he had a priority in his life. He was singular in all that he did. His life was arranged around this purpose, wasn't it? He was a leader. Because, see, he was leading others in doing the same thing. Number eight, he was a man under authority. Look what he did. Went to the high priest. He got the letters of Mark there. And number nine, his priority was eliminating Jesus' followers. Now, if I didn't tell you the story, and I just gave you that list, without number nine, what would you say about him? Oh man, he's a great guy. We want him in our church. Then he'd be fishing in a barrel. But let's look at Saul after the Damascus Road experience. All nine things are true. You say, well, why do you say nine? That ninth one from eliminating them. He wanted to eliminate them from any danger in their lives. He wanted them to be part of the bigger plan of God that was going on. So that whole list, the whole list is true. He becomes successful in the kingdom of God, famous. We're talking about him today, a man of means. He gets a laser-like focus in his life. His purpose was leading others to Jesus. He had a plan, and his passion is without comparison in the New Testament world. Everything was arranged around that one thing, Jesus, in his life. Number two. The only one that really changed at all was the focus of number nine. Number three, and the subject of his priority changed. Number four, Jesus became his passion. And five, everything else in his life changed because his priority changed. Now here's how we can make it real. In reality, the priority question is never about what, but about who. Follow me here. Let me explain. It's always a choice between two people. Which of these two will sit on the throne of your life and call the shots? Who will be boss? You or Jesus? What's your priority? What's your priority? Is it Jesus? Because you see, once he comes into your life, everything else starts to make sense. All the stuff. Your work, being a parent, going to school, making friends. All that stuff. But you can't put all that stuff cramming in your life and expect Jesus then to fit. Doesn't happen. You got to decide. Is he going to be your priority? I'm not talking about religious nuts. We got plenty of them in the world. I'm talking about changed Jesus followers. Where he is your priority. Is he? Is he in your life? Number one, have you received him into your life? If you never have, you can ask him to come into your life today, and he will. Matthew 6:33. I quoted in my prayer with the children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all these other things shall be added unto you as well. Our problem is we want to put all that stuff in our lives and then ask Jesus to come to party as a Johnny come lately. So I can claim I have Jesus in my life. But the reality is, everybody knows. Your friends at school, at work, in your neighborhood, they already know who you belong to. Anybody that knows you knows who sits on the throne of your life. So here's my question to you again. If you've never received Him into your life, won't you receive Him today? Let Him come in and make you a new person. Look what the Lord did in Saul's life. He changed him radically. All the things, all of his gifts and graces, his talents, everything became an instrument of God. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I've done that business with the Lord a long time ago. Well, how's that working out with you right now? Is he still Lord? Or are you still trying to fill your life up with stuff that'll make you feel good? Religious stuff. Worldly stuff. You see, and listen to this, kiddos, especially you. Having Jesus in your life doesn't mean that you don't get to do any of these things. You still have a job, you still have fun, you still ought to. But who's in control of your life? Who's calling the shots? You or Jesus? Let's pray. We open the altar now. If you want to come and pray, want to come and spend some time, pastors will be here to pray with you. If you want to spend some time by yourself, you want to go get someone else, come and pray with you. If you've never received Jesus into your life, we're calling on you publicly to come. We'll pray with you, and you can ask Him into your life today. Some of you have been believers a long, long time. And it may have been a while since you have seriously questioned what goes on in your life. It's time to put it all out on the table and let Jesus take inventory. It may be time for a reset. Lord, we open the altar now. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. Come with power and strength. Come and work in our lives. Come and do what only you can do in our lives. We ask you, Lord, that you would rebuke the enemy today, that he would have no authority over us in this building, or anything that touches us. Lord, I'm asking you for some of us that are seated here that are dying by inches with problems that go on in our lives, that today we would open up and say, Jesus, would you come and be Lord of my life first and foremost? Would you become the priority of me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for speaking to us. In your name we pray. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. Now, we've begun the conversation today. Reset. God seldom tells me everything in one sitting How about you? It's always a part of a stream. And it generally fits in this category. He tells me what he feels like I can stand right then, good or bad. What has he told you today? Now be careful of a trap. This is a very simple message today. Some of you have thought in the back of your mind, oh, that's too simple for me. I'm way beyond that in my growth with Jesus. You're the exact person that's in the crosshairs. As this one fellow was speaking about the Damascus Road experience, Jesus had Saul in his crosshairs and he shot him down with his gospel gun. He got you in the crosshairs today. What's he saying to you as you leave here and contemplate this? You'll be getting emails this week. Our daily devotional is going to be about reset. Let God speak to you. Let Him speak. Lord, now send us out. Send us out in Your power. Send us out, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of Jesus, under the authority of You, our Father. Thank You. Amen.